When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits on the Cross Politic Network, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right. The mercy of the wicked is like a husband buying his wife some roses, only because the thorns will make good instruments to beat her with later on. That is the mercy of the wicked, and it is cruel. And this is another episode of Law and Profits. There's big news in the evangelical world today. I just want to make some comments on. It's that the Statement of on Social Justice was released. John MacArthur obviously being the one that headed that up, and with a bunch of key signers, including Vadi Bakum and some others. And I read that this morning, and I did sign it. I signed it because I thought the statement was vague enough that we could come together and agree on it. There were some issues that I had with it. I think it did lean a little too kingdom when it spoke about the role of the church, when it says that it's not the primary mission of the church to get involved in political issues. And I would obviously agree it's not the primary issue, but it absolutely is an issue. And I think it was kind of vague there, but it was vague enough that I felt confident that I could sign it, as did Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson did sign it, as he said on Twitter. So I think it's a good statement. I do believe that those of us who don't adhere to Two Kingdom theology, who believe that the church is involved in political issues and should be involved in political issues, that's a good thing. And just to clarify that, the statement on social justice is indeed a political statement. So obviously the church is involved to some degree by what the statement is. It is a political statement. So obviously the church is indeed involved in political issues. Some of the political issues on there include things like racism and being able to get yourself out of the circumstances in which God has placed you. So a lot of those things, it came out really clearly against socialism. I was really happy to see that. And I must say that I'm really happy to see that the direction of the evangelical church is moving towards this consensus that it is okay to speak on specific political issues. It is okay for the church to have a voice on these subjects, especially in the areas of justice. And I find this refreshing and a blessing. I know we're not going to agree on every which way that the church should speak on issues of justice or crying out for the poor and the widows and those things. There's obviously going to be disagreements as to how we can do that, but I am happy. I am very happy that we are at least having the conversation, and we're going to the Old Testament, and we're looking at what Ezekiel says about God not punishing people based on the sins of their fathers and things like that. So that's really, really great. I think we should rejoice, even if we're not Two Kingdom guys. We should rejoice that there are people that are starting to see that there needs to be a clear Christian position on matters of justice. So then, what should the clear Christian position on the matter of property taxes be? That's an interesting one. I was talking with my wife, we were talking about property taxes. She's like, you should do a show on property taxes. And so I did some research and I found some clips that infuriate me. And we'll go ahead and we will play these clips right about now.
So in Broward, February's shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School was on the mind of many voters. Voters were asked if taxes should be raised to pay for hiring more school security and raising teacher pay. The answer there, a resounding yes, meaning property taxes will go up to raise more than $90 million.
You know, this infuriates me so much, because what they did here, the politicians, these awful, awful politicians said, now is the time people really care about our schools. Now is the time people are, they're really willing to give more money to the schools. There was just a school shooting. There's just this love in the air for government education and schools in our county right now because of what happened here. And it's a tragedy, and these politicians are exploiting this tragedy to get people to vote in favor of increasing property taxes to fund government education. Now, government education is a completely different show, and we should perhaps do one on that at some point. But what happened here is you have a county who suffered a tragedy of a school shooting, and the result was the politicians decided, let's put something on the ballot that says, hey, let's increase property taxes to raise funds for these schools, because the time is right. The time is right. People are sad. People are hurting. People want their schools to be great, especially when they just had this tragedy. And so people voted, and people voted to increase property taxes. Now, so that is a question. The question there is, what is the role, what is the biblical position on property taxes? What does the Bible say about property tax, about taxing one's property? Well, actually, the Bible does have something to say on this. It's actually, before I did the research on the show, I wasn't aware of the passages that I'm about to go into. But first, let's define the first one, and that is, thou shall not steal. That verse is very important. We've heard it over and over and over again. We think about robbing a bank or robbing a friend, but it has a lot of implications. And the first implication that's critical to understand here is that God has given men authority to own his land. So here's the thing. God owns the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he has delegated responsibility towards men. And he has given men a right to own property. If man could not own property, the very Bible verse, thou shalt not steal, doesn't make any sense. And so we see this in other passages. Again, if we go back to the parable of the vineyard, I think I should just write a book on economics from the parable of the vineyard, because there's the vineyard workers, because there's so much there. But if you notice in the beginning of the passage, it says that it is the vineyard workers' field. It was his field. It wasn't the government's field that they lent to you. It was his field. So the problem with property taxes, the problem here is that when you buy land, it is yours. It is supposed to be yours, and it is supposed to be given as an inheritance. The Bible, throughout Scripture, it talks about land being an inheritance. So it's an essential function of land that God gave us. It's a gift that God gave us, the ability to own land, that we could pass this land off to our families, and our children and our children's children would have land to work off of. But you cannot do that when the government taxes your land, because here's what happens. One is your property value might go up, and a lot of that might be good. Like, you might build on the land after several generations. There might be farms or buildings or things on the land that add value to it. And with that value, the government will impose a tax. Now, should your family fall on hard times, the government can come and say, well, hey, you can't afford to pay the tax, so we're going to take away your land. We don't care that it's been in your family's generation for 100 years, 200 years. We're going to take it away because you failed to pay the tax. The other problem with that is it allows government assessors to come in and they can arbitrarily decide to raise the value of a house in a certain area without increasing the property tax. And that will raise taxes and income for the city. So just imagine for a moment, this actually happened in Newport News, Virginia. The mayor decided that he was going to have the assessors come, and the assessors would then arbitrarily inflate the housing market so that he could say he didn't raise taxes. But because he raised the price of the houses, the percentage that he didn't raise of the property tax increased in the homeowner. For the homeowners. And then what you had was a completely inflated price of housing in the whole city. And they eventually got rid of them before that. I believe they actually were able to threaten criminal charges on him for doing that. So that's a problem when the government can just say, you know what? I know you bought this house for $50,000, but it's worth $1 million now. And now you got to pay the percentage of that tax. That's a problem. And so I have a problem when I hear politicians speak on property taxes as if they're a good thing or as if they should exist. And this was actually from about 5 days ago in, I believe it's Staten Island, New York. And she is a Republican. This is for the Republican primary. And well, let's just hear her talk, shall we?
Glenn and I have been talking over the last few weeks about the partnership we will have when we return to Albany in January. And one of the most pressing issues that I've been at the forefront of is the fight to make our property tax structure more fair and make sure that other communities pay their fair share so the burden is not just falling on the people of Staten Island and certain areas of Brooklyn and the Bronx and Queens.
The words that come out of her mouth is everybody should pay their fair share. That is not in any way a conservative position. Paying our fair share is not a Christian position. The Bible is very clear that the rich shall not pay more and the poor shall not pay less when it's speaking about the temple tax, the head tax. So the Bible is very clear that it is completely wrong to have everybody pay their fair share according with what they own. The rich should not pay more. This is the problem with saying, you know what, there should just be a flat tax of 10%, and then that way the poor will pay 10%, and then the rich will pay 10%, and it's fair. But it's not fair because the rich are paying more, and the poor are paying less. So when we talk about taxes, if there is a just system of taxation, which I believe the head tax was probably a fair, biblical, civil tax, but it was only for half a shekel. That was only $1.25 worth of silver in today's terms. It was a few ounces of silver. So if you want to say that everybody, whether the rich or the poor, has to pay $1.25 in silver, I'm cool with that. Like, I mean, if that's all the taxes we have to pay, and you say, well, what about the roads? How will we do this? How will we do that? We'll just do it. Let's continue this clip. What about this? What about that? We'll let the private industry figure that out. But the point is that with a $1.25 tax, the government will not be big enough to concern us.
Here in the South Shore, total market value is $23.8 billion, and yet they're collecting $226.7 million from South Shore residents. Meanwhile, the collective market value of all the homes in Bill de Blasio's council district is $24.2 billion, roughly the same as it is on the South Shore, yet they are collecting only a third, $81.4 million.
So ultimately, there's people that are paying more, and then there's people that are paying less. And we just need to make everything fair. Why is this person not saying, hey, let's get rid of the property tax. Instead of trying to figure out a way that everybody's burden can be the same and trying to figure out a way that nobody can own property because the government can just take it away based on the market value appraisal that she wants to push. Why have our politicians gone to such a degree to be in such favor of slavery? And I know what you're going to say. Well, you know, property taxes pays for schools. Property taxes pays for this. Property taxes pays for that. But here's the thing. Property taxes do not allow you to give an inheritance to your children because the government can come and take it at any time. When the state says, I own the land and you pay me a rental fee for your ability to use the land, you have no more power. You own nothing. And we don't own anything. If I don't want to pay the taxes on my car, the government will take away my car. If I don't want to pay the taxes on my house, the government will take my house. And it goes, it's the same thing for tractors and equipment and everything else that the government can find a reason to tax. You don't own anything. The state has made themselves to be God, and it should anger us like Nehemiah. So this is Nehemiah chapter 5, and I'm just going to read all the way from verse 1 to 13. And this is so encouraging. It's so encouraging to see a man of God like Nehemiah stand up to the kings of the land and stand up for his people over the issue of property taxes. So Nehemiah 5. Now there arose a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brothers, for there were those who said, "With our sons and daughters, our daughters, we are many. So let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive." There were also those who said, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get grain because of the famine." And there were those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards." So take notice of what's happening here. This is an occupied land. They're under slavery. And as a result, they're having to give up their property to the king in order that they can pay taxes. So then, now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers. Our children are as their children. Yet we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but it is not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards. That's really important here. They have no power because they own no property. They don't own anything. Their property is being held at ransom by these taxes. And so this is what happens. Nehemiah hears this. "I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. I took counsel with myself and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. I said to them, 'You are exacting interest each from his brother.' And I held a great assembly against them and said to them, 'We, as far as we are able, have brought back our Jewish brothers who have been sold to the nations. But you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us.' They were silent and could not find a word to say. So I said, 'The thing that you are doing is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of God to prevent the taunt of the nations? Taunts of the nations are enemies. Moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us abandon this exacting of interest. Return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards and their houses and the percentage of money, grain, wine, and oil that you have been exacting from them.' Then they said, 'We will restore these and require nothing from them. We will do as you say.' And I called the priest and made them swear to do as they had promised. I also shook out the fold of my garment and said, 'So may God shake out every man from his house and from his labor who does not keep this promise. So may he be shaken out and emptied.' And all the assembly said, 'Amen,' and praised the Lord. And the people did as he promised." This passage is you have a man of God going before the kings and he's saying, stop taxing people. You are making these people slaves and they came out of Egypt and you're putting them back into Egypt by taxing their property. This passage should be so encouraging to us. And when I read it, I actually just get more outraged at our political system that we've allowed this to happen for so long that we're even discussing property taxes as if they're valid. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And it saddens me. Honestly, it really bothers me that we have this system in place that we have voted for ourselves. Now, notice that Israel voted for these property taxes on their own as well. So this is something that people do when they forget the commands of God. They vote to enslave themselves. And we have allowed this to happen. And we allow it to happen for promises of schools or roads or whatever. But Nehemiah looks and his heart breaks for the people of God and says, no, like property taxes means they're in slavery. They don't own anything. They have no power to fight back because the government can just take everything that they have. And so this is why taxation is a biblical issue. This is why the issue of what the government should and should not do needs to be voiced from the church. These matters of justice matter, and it's unjust to ignore them. We need to speak out against these things. We need to pass measures. We need to have people come together and pass measures as a church in their city to abolish property taxes. This is a biblical thing. This is something that's very clearly laid out in Scripture. Nehemiah is calling this slavery. He's calling it slavery when you have your land taxed. And not only did he command that they stop doing it, he demanded that the government pay people back for it too. I honestly would just be happy if we just stopped. So I would, if we could just stop paying property taxes, I think that would be a big win. But the truth is, we want them. 60 some odd percent of people in Broward County voted to increase property taxes. They voted to enslave themselves. This is a problem. This is a real problem. And unless the church comes together, and unless the church gathers together and speaks to our officials and our noblemen and our kings and says, we're not going to take this anymore, we're not going to be slaves anymore, then I don't see a way of this stopping, because it's not going to happen with the common people. The common people like their welfare. They like their slavery. So we need to do something about this. So, anyways, that wraps up another episode of Law and Prophets on the Cross Politic Network. Make sure you join the Cross Politic Club. You can go to crosspolitic.com and sign up there. And there's all sorts of behind-the-scenes stuff. There's the Shotgun Worldview series that you can listen to and watch. So, or maybe you can just listen to it. I really need a club membership if I am on here. I need it. For experimental purposes, I think I should get one for free. I don't know. Maybe I should pay. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. Thank you for listening to another episode of Law and Prophets. Remember that sharing is currency. Please share this video if you like it. And if you like it, and then comment and do all those things that social media asks of you. And thanks again for everybody who has listened to the show, who has supported the show, who has sent comments and let people know what this show means to them. And I am so excited to be able to be doing it and to see that it's impacting people and the way they think about the government and bringing biblical issues into conflict with political issues. I think that's incredibly important.